Well, today is the first Sunday of Advent, the beginning of a new church year, and the first Sunday of Advent is a Sunday of hope. We hope it gets warmer. It's a little bit more than that, but we hope for lots of things. But as I was looking at the lectionary readings for this week, and I started thinking about Advent, and what we think of when we think of Advent, at least for most of us, is that it's a time of preparation, getting ready for Christmas, for the celebration of Jesus coming on earth. And that certainly is what it is. There's no, there's not some kind of subversive message about to appear here. But I got thinking about Advent, and I thought, why, in one sense, why would we get ready for something that's already happened? And of course, we're getting ready for the celebration of it, in the same way that we get ready for our birthday, our anniversary, whatever days come up that we've been looking forward to for a while. And that makes sense, and that's a good thing to do. But then I started thinking about the larger picture of the church year. And the church year, which has been around for millennia, is based on the experiences of people who were very forward-looking rather than backward-looking. Not that there's anything wrong with that, and not that they were ahistorical or were unaware or didn't care but went on behind. And it started me thinking that maybe there's a bit more to Advent than a time of preparation, getting ready for Christmas, which in and of itself is certainly of sufficient value. I remember when I first began to enter fully into Advent, and it made Christmas almost immeasurably better. And not just because it made it longer, but because one of the things that I've come to the understanding of as I get older, and it really comes on a remark that a spiritual director a long time ago that I had said. He said that the joy in wanting things is in the wanting, not in the thing itself. And I've thought about that often, and it is true. Often we want things, and then when we have them, we forget them, and we move on, we want something else. And that whole idea of anticipation, of looking forward to things, of wanting things, can be really rich. It doesn't just have to be you're waiting for things impatiently, stomping your foot. It can be more than that. And Advent has done that for me. And then I was spending some time in a book written for people who do something with the lectionary, either read it on their own or they read it for teaching or preaching. And I was reminded again that the season of Advent is very specifically eschatological. Eschatology is the division of theology that is devoted to the study of the last things, of the end of everything, of the return of Jesus, whatever that looks like. And there's lots of room for speculation, and we can think about what that might mean. And I was realizing that that must be what the lectionary is about, because if it wasn't, why did we get these texts? We don't send a lot of Christmas cards anymore. We don't receive very many. It's one of those things that we get lots of email kinds of things. I have never yet received a Christmas card that said, "The sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from the sky and the heavenly bodies will be shaken. Merry Christmas." No, that's not a Christmas text. So why is it here? Is it possible that the committee that put together the lectionary were just kind of crazy? Or were they suggesting to us that we can do something else or something additional in Advent? Because Advent is another one of those both-and things that we have to deal with as believing people. We don't do both-and very well, and by we, I mean human beings. We do either-or really well. You're a friend or you're an enemy. Dinner is good or it's bad. Something is on time or it's late. We do either or really well. We do it so well that we turn all kinds of things that aren't either ors into either ors. Both and is hard. The both and of our salvation, for example. We are saved. We are completely saved. Our salvation is completely secure. But we will be ultimately completely saved. And our salvation is being worked out through that period of time. We are saved. We are being saved. We will be saved. Is clumsy, But that's what Paul means when he talks about salvation. Greek is a delightful language. It can express all that in a single word. We have to do it in a big, long, clunky phrase, so we don't. But it's the both and. And Advent is another both and. In Advent, we get ready for Christmas. At Advent, we get ready to celebrate the memory, the recollection, the experience that happened way back in the past that none of us were there for, of Jesus coming to earth in the form of a baby. Which is just a wonderful thing. The prayer that I used this morning, where it talks about, or reminds us that Jesus was born just like all of us were, born of a woman. I found it online, and it's one of those things that I just had to use because it's, every once in a while I'm just struck by that again, and it's almost overwhelming that God came to earth just like I did. Absolutely amazing. And Advent is about that. It's about getting ready for that and looking forward with anticipation. But Advent is more than that. Advent is also, the end of Advent is looking forward to Jesus coming again. For our opportunity, whenever that happens, to know him fully as he truly is. And whether that happens to all of us at once in a moment where Christ returns, or whether it happens for us individually as it has for every saint who's gone before, it is still going to happen. And that's why the sermon title is, Jesus is coming. He did come once and he's coming again. And that's a hopeful thing for us. Paul talks about how we wait. After giving us grace and peace, he tells us that we need to eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. And he's not talking about interacting with Jesus in a personal way. He's not talking about the relationship we have with God through Jesus, empowered by the Holy Spirit, although that's certainly important. What he's saying is that we eagerly wait for the Lord Jesus Christ to be completely revealed. When we will know Jesus as he really is, in his full divinity, with none of his self-imposed limitations that he had when he was here on earth, when he came the first time. Advent is about waiting for that as well. And it's easy for us to take this both and turn it into an either or. And I've been around people who have turned it into an either or and have told me that if I wasn't spending all of my time waiting for the second return of Christ, then I was wasting my time and that Christmas was actually kind of silly. Well, we're all entitled to our opinions. I have many that are really ridiculous. Possibly even as ridiculous as that one. Remembering that Jesus came as a baby is a tremendous thing for us. It's one of the ways that we connect with children about the realities of God in a way that nothing else does. Because children know what it means to be a child, because that's all they know. And we can say God, Jesus, God in the form of flesh, just like you, a human being just like you, was your age once. Struggled with the same things you do. It's critically important for us to remember that. And we kick off the church year by getting ready to celebrate Christ coming to earth. But let's not forget that there's more to it than that. That Jesus didn't come to earth, live, minister, die, rose again, go back to heaven, and say, see you later, in that sense that I won't. If he said, see you later, it's because we're going to. At some point, we will be face to face with Jesus. And as we think of the one part of the incarnation, the human part, as Christmas is all about the essential humanity of Jesus when he was here on earth, let's not forget the other part either. Let's hold the two together as best we can, living in the both and, of Jesus as an infant, and Jesus as Lord of all. We don't know when that's going to happen. Mark passage makes that pretty clear. We know that some of the things that are going to happen are happening now. I always find it interesting that when you look at the signs of the times, Jesus says, these are the kinds of things that will be happening before I return. Have you ever noticed that those things have been happening ever since? I don't think it's a coincidence that every generation has been able to make a pretty good case for Jesus to come back right now. Some perhaps better than others, but everybody can find something in there that's going on right now, whether it's conflict or climate change or who knows what. There's always something that we can find in there that reminds us that Jesus could return at any time. And that's hope. The ground of our hope isn't just in an idea. The ground of our hope is a person. And one of the reasons why the first Sunday of Advent is a Sunday of hope, we lit the hope candle this morning, is because without that hope, then what have we? Paul very clearly says that if we were like everybody else who had no hope, we would be more to be pitied than anyone else. But we have this hope. Jesus came once. He's coming again. And he said, I am coming. And we take this time in Advent to look forward to his return, whenever it will be, whatever it will look like, whether for us as individuals at the end of our own lives, or as all of us all at once. And we take hope from that. It gives meaning to everything that happens. It gives meaning to the things we don't understand, that we can't understand. We talked about this just a couple of weeks ago. That the sure knowledge of the return of Christ, the sure knowledge that at one point we will know God, that we will, to the limit of our perfected abilities, understand everything that is needful for us to understand, means that what we don't understand now still has meaning. Jesus is coming. He came as a baby. He's coming as a king. Reign of Christ Sunday was last Sunday. I always find it interesting, the juxtaposition of those two Sundays. I don't think that's an accident either. It reminds us of the both and of Jesus. Fully human and fully divine, something we will never really understand. Coming as a baby, coming as a king, something that we can come closer to understanding and will one day actually experience. Jesus is coming. Don't lose sight of that in our preparations for the celebration that he did come. Let's hold the two of them together. The joys of Christmas, the hope of his return. It can be hard to do a both and. But let's face it, our spouses, our close friends do it all the time. They remember that we are, in fact, decent people, even though we don't always act that way. And we do the same for them. It's another both and for us. And it gives us a broader experience. It can be a richer time in Advent when we take some time to consider both of these. Jesus come as a baby to experience everything that we have experienced. And then to return to bring meaning to everything we have experienced. To bring perfection, to bring a completed world, so that we might finally be everything we were created to be. To his glory and in his presence. Amen.